Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that you may receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and said, they are spirit and they are life. Words to lead you to life everlasting. Welcome again, and thank you so much for allowing us to come into your home with the scriptures, with the gospel, with the words of God that can lead you to everlasting life. Today we want to begin a little mini series of 3 or 4 parts that will help you to understand the role of the kingdom of God and the rulership of God in the affairs of all mankind. I want then to invite you to open your Bibles with me, if you have your Bible, and we are going to be looking at the book of Revelations, the last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelations. And for that, we are going to be reading just 2 or 3 verses from chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, again, that's Revelations chapter 4. And I'm just going to begin reading verse 3 and 4, those 2 verses alone for now, and then we will proceed a little further later on. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us today and leading words. Revelations chapter 4, read to us as follow in verse 2. And immediately, Revelations 4 and 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, he said, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in heaven, like unto an emerald. And then it says, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And the last verse, verse 5, it said, and out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. Today I want to speak a little bit on the first part of this, which will be verse 2 and verse 3. And those 2 verses are trying to make a specific assertion that heaven is not run on autopilot. We hear a lot of people and a lot of traditions and a lot of superstitious sayings that karma have some type of hand in the affairs of humanity, that karma, if you do something wrong, will see to it that the wrong come back to you. We hear sometimes that they speak about Murphy's Law, as if Murphy is an entity that has some control upon the affairs of humanity or the affairs of this existence. And for that, they will say anything that can go bad will go bad according to Murphy's Law. Then we hear about another saying, superstitious saying, of course, that Fatum, this goddess that controls the finality of things, Fatum, that she, if I might call her a she, or call it a she, that Fatum is who controls the ending, how things will finish. Therefore, that's where we get our word fatality from. Because according to these superstitious understanding, this goddess that is called Fatum establishes how things will finish in the life of all existence. So if you have an accident, they will say, well, the person met its or her talking faith, but faith, F-A-T-A. And they get the idea because they say, well, Fatum decided that that person will die at a crash at 2 o'clock p.m. and it happened at 2 o'clock p.m. so the person met their fate. Then we heard one of these great Hollywood singers, and I think you have heard it by now too, this great singer that came up with a fancy song, Que Sera Sera, whatever will be, and future is not ours to see, que sera, sera. As if, like, the universe somehow, either some type of entities are running this universe, or perhaps the universe is running its own self. And all these ideas of why things happen and why things finalize the way they finalizes and things like that. So we come up with this fatalism, how things will end according to this goddess named Fatum, and we come up with karma, and we come up with Murphy's law, and we come up with que sera sera, and a whole bunch of things like that. But now the Bible said to us that John, the one that wrote this book of Revelation, he said this John had a vision of heaven. And the first thing that John saw in heaven, the first, very first thing that John saw in heaven, the scripture says in chapter 4, that as he was taken up to heaven, when he looked, he said, I saw a throne in heaven, but the throne was set. In other words, the throne was established in heaven. It was not just lingering around or battered around or set up in a corner. No, the throne was set in heaven. It means then that heaven is not run by other entities. It seems that heaven is run by a throne. There is a throne that is the seat of the control of the affairs of life, and it is run from heaven. In the book of Daniel, Daniel is very clear. And Daniel says in his book, chapter 4, he says, the matter is settled. The matter is settled. Is neither karma, nor Fatum, nor Murphy's law, nor Hollywood singers. The matter is settled. None of these entities run the kingdom. None of these entities run this universe. This universe is run by the power and the kingdom of the throne of God, which is set in heaven. The apostle also said, and he was very clear in his saying, he said that I saw a throne in heaven, but also the throne was not an empty throne. He said, I saw in heaven that a throne was set. So it let me know that heaven is run by an entity that is celestial, that is in heaven. But this throne is not an empty throne. It is a set throne in heaven, but not an empty throne. So what is it trying to tell me? That somebody is seated on the throne in heaven that is running the affairs of men. And the book of Daniel says the same thing. It says that the affair or the matter is settled, that God rules in the affairs of men. God rules and run, you see, the kingdoms of men. And then look what else it says. It says, and he give it or give them to whomsoever he wills. He give this kingdom to whomsoever he wills. Wow, why is that important to us? Well, it is important because things that are happening in your life, the vicissitudes of life, the circumstances of life that comes against you, if God runs and rules the affairs of men, then it means that none of these things that come against you is the final word. They may happen to you. Things might happen to you. You hear people saying bad things happen to good people. Yes, bad things may happen to you, but God still have the control, and God can reverse some of these bad things and turn them to your benefit. That's God. Now let's look a little more. Because the apostle, when he got this vision, he made another assertion. He said, oh, whoa, when I look at the throne, it means then that the throne is the seat of the controls, right? He said, but somebody was seated on the throne. And he said, when I look at this throne, the person that was seated was to be looked upon like two stones. Now, anybody that knows something about God will clearly understand and comprehend that God is not a stone. But the Bible says that this person that is seated, or this one, or this entity that is seated upon the throne, is to be looked upon as two stones. Now, we know that God is not a stone. Well, who is this God? This God that we worship and serve is a personal God. Is a personal God. If you notice how verse 3 of the book of Revelation chapter 4 begins, it says, he that was seated on the throne. You see that? It begins with this personal pronoun. I, you, he, or him, or it. What is a he? It tells you then this singular pronoun, right? Third person, because it's speaking about he. It says that he that was seated on the throne. So it let us understand that it's a personal God. It's a he. He that sat on the throne, and then he said, was to be looked upon like a sardine and a jasper stone. A jasper and a sardine, or a sardine and a jasper. And then we come to the conclusion, well, why will he say that this person, this God that is sitting on the throne, look like a jasper, but he also looked like a sardine? He looked like two precious stones, the sardicus, or the sardine stone, and the jasper stone. But to get the proper understanding of what he's saying, you need to find out, what's the symbolism of these two stones? Well, to help you when you get a little chance or a little opportunity, you can read the book of Exodus chapter 28, verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. In Exodus chapter 28, it gives a clear understanding and definition of what these stones represent. You see, in the Old Testament, listen carefully, in the Old Testament, the priest will have on a breastplate on his chest. And the priest will have on that breastplate 12 different precious stones in the order of three on the top, three in the second row, three in the third row, and three in the fourth row. So this priest will wear 12 different stones on his chest. Well, why 12 stones, and what will they represent? Well, these 12 stones represent the 12 tribes that comprises the children of Israel, or the children of Jacob, that form the country that today is called Israel. So 12 sons of Jacob, and each son bring forth a tribe. So those 12 tribes put together form Israel. And God said to the priest, when you come in before me to worship and to praise, make sure you put a breastplate on with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 children of Jacob. And I want you to carry them on your chest, because it is close to your heart. So what God is saying, when you come in to pray, when you come in to intercede, bring the children of Israel, the 12 children of the tribes of Jacob, bring them close to your heart. So when you're praying, you can always intercede for them also. So the priest will wear these 12 different stones. You see that? 12 different stones representing the 12 tribes or the 12 children of Jacob. The problem is this now. Listen. That the priest, the stones must go in a specific order. The stones, everyone will be a different stone, but the order of these stones goes in the order of birth. So the first stone will be symbolic to the first son that was born. The second stone will be symbolic to the second son. The third stone will be symbolic to the third son that was born. And the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, until the last son that was born. Well, guess what happened? The first son that Jacob had is Reuben. And the stone, the birth stone for Reuben, is the sardicus or the sardine stone. That's the first stone. And then you have a second stone, a third, a fourth, and you keep on. And then the last stone that represents the last son of Jacob or the last tribe is the stone that represents Benjamin, the last son. And that stone is a jasper stone. So you see what he's saying? That I saw one sitting on the throne. And he that was sitting on the throne, he looked like the sardine stone, which is the first stone. And he also looked like a jasper stone, which is the last stone. So what is he saying to us? He that is seated on the throne looks like the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav. He said, oh my God, there is one that is seated on the throne, and he that is seated on the throne is to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine. He looked like two stones. He looked like a jasper stone, which is the last stone, and he also looked like a sardicus, which is the first stone. I have something else to say about that. And the thing that I want to say about that also is this. That these stones are very peculiar stones. They are birth stones. We call them birth stones. 12 different birth stones. But each one of these birth stones represents each one of the children of Jacob. Each one of the tribes of Israel, of Jacob. But look at this. He that is seated on the throne, he looked like the first son, and he looked like the last son. He looked like the son that represents the sardine stone, and he looked like the son that represents the jasper stone. What is God telling us there? He's telling us that heaven, the throne of God, controls the affairs of this existence. And that there is somebody on that throne, and that somebody that is on the throne, that person is the first, and that person is the last. And the only person that claimed to be first and last in the Godhead is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made it clear. He said, I am the first, I am the last, I am the beginning, and I am the ending. I am the Aleph, and I am the Tav. I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. He's making it clear that he is the one that started all of this, and he is the one that determines how it's going to be finished. So what am I saying to you? I'm telling you, God and heaven run these affairs, and it's not what other people say the ending will be, is what God himself said the ending will be. So it does not finish until God says it is finished. He is the first and he is the last. Soon finishing here. But listen carefully to this, because lots of times we get death sentences. Lots of times they say to us, well, the doctor says it's over. There is no opportunity. The judge say It's no way out. It's final. And this one say, and that one say, and everybody say, I want you to know something. God rules in the affairs of men. And when God says it's finished, then it's finished. But when people say it's finished, it's not finished. It's finished only when God himself says it's finished. That's when it's really over. You know, in the book of Philippians too, in the book of Philippians, the scripture said unto us that he that began this great work in our lives, right? He said, he that start this work is well able to keep you and is well able to perfect this work in your life until the day of Jesus Christ. What is he trying to say to us? That God called you, God chose you, God selected you, and at the same time, God tried to influence in your life and begin this process of making out of you a new creature. And in the process of changing your heart and changing your life and making out of you a new creature, sometimes bad things just happen. The devil will bring things and circumstances will force other things to happen. And you think that God forgot you. And you think that, well, no use, it's over. I'm here to tell you, it's not over until God says it's over. Why? Because in heaven, there is a throne. There is a throne that runs the affair of all of this existence. And that throne is not empty. There is one sitting on that throne. And the one that is sitting on that throne called himself the first and the last. So karma is not the last. She have no say in here. And Murphy Law is not the last. They have no say in here. I don't know, que sera, sera. No. God can alter and change all circumstances. And it's only going to finish when he says it is finished. So whatever you are going through, put it in the hands of the Lord. And even if the doctors and the whole world say it's over, put it in the hands of him that ruleth in the affairs of this world. His name is Jesus Christ. Put it in his hands and he will finish it for your convenience, to your benefits. Receive him in your heart and he'll bless you also. God bless you. Until we meet again, we'll study some more on the book of Revelation. God bless you.